Dream Podcast. Contrary to popular opinion, we are still alive and still recording. We're back, and we've got a special show to welcome us back. We've got an idea. We're going to run through every single team in the league. Ross has written superbly all of the names here in a tin. Get some sound effects. There you go. And we're going to go through and give sort of our thoughts about the games that have been and the games to come. We've got 7 games left in the season. We're going to go 3 minutes per team. So, Ross Dunbar, who's joining me today.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm looking forward to setting a benchmark for how to do draws. You know, UEFA, they take like half an hour to go through to the first team, so...
Absolutely. No adverts.
Yeah, no adverts.
No bald men making silly comments. No ex-professionals.
No guests, yeah.
No guests. Straight in. Right, first team.
You go first, John. I'll...
Get the timer on.
Right.
Okay, I'll go first.
Let's shake them around first.
Let's get a proper shake around. There we go. Okay, smile to the camera. Luis Figo. First team out. Tablets.
Tablets Pills FC. Okay, by Leverkusen.
Right. 3 minutes, go.
By Leverkusen. New manager has been quite underwhelming. I put up quite a stoic defence of Typhoon Korkut when he got the job because I thought he might be able to turn things around. So far, we've not really seen a bounce. But that said, they are out of trouble. I don't think they're going to go down, so that's good. I don't think they're going to have enough to get into Europe, though. 2-0 at Darmstadt last night, was a kind of conventional result. Wolfsburg, 2-0 up after 65 minutes on Sunday. Mario Gomez was a hat-trick in 7 minutes. And then they managed to get an equaliser at the end from Havertz. So they are still very haphazard.
Don't you think that season was their season?
Oh yeah, it was the epitome of their season. I mean, again, they're still relying on someone like Kai Havertz to come off the bench and dig them out of a hole. I mean,
this is a guy who's stressing out over his exams.
Yeah,
you can't put the pressure of Leverkusen's status on him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really harsh to rely on just a kid to come on and do the business. But again, the big players aren't performing. Chicharito hasn't scored in a while. Julian Brandt obviously scored last night against Darmstadt, but I don't think his performances have been that good.
No.
Bellarabi has dropped off a lot. Campbell maybe hasn't been as good either. I think Campbell under Roger Schmidt was really important.
He was the guy to
kind of dictate the play, but he's not doing that right now. And I'll pass this over to you. Defensively, it's still a complete abomination.
There are so many individual errors, and okay, maybe it's hard to blame the manager in that respect, but you still can't be allowing the kind of things that they did. I mean, Gomez's header, the first one, is a really, really good header, I have to say.
Right.
But like, the space that he gets sometimes, I mean, in that game generally, you know, so many examples where Leverkusen, you don't know whether they're playing man marking, whether they're playing zonal marking, whether the fullbacks are fullbacks or wingers. You know, a lot of people have talked about Benjamin Heinrichs being linked with Bayern Munich. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's a case of people who see a young player and think, oh, he has to be brilliant, so I'm going to write some blog about him and
about
think he's
brilliant.
No, come on, it's bullshit.
No, he's not good enough because he's not defensively sound enough.
Yeah.
And he's showing that later.
I think since Roberto Hilbert has come in, they've looked a little bit more solid on the right hand side. But that 7 minutes with Mario Gomez was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Mario Gomez scored a hat-trick in that time, but he could have scored like 5 goals.
Absolutely.
He had
mentally,
like 5 clear chances.
Where mentally, strength, nothing to keep them going, nothing where you'd say this is a team that can wrestle a situation back in control. You know? Maybe Typhoon Korkut has already failed his chance to take the job next time.
So, 20 seconds to go. Where are Leverkusen going to finish this season? And where are they as a club at this point?
They're not where they need to be as a club because they're not going to be in Europe and they won't be there next season. They're going to finish in mid-table, I'd say 10th or 9th.
I think they're going to be 11th or 12th.
Yeah,
so
like,
I think it depends if they're going to bring in as their next manager. They need a big name. Two seconds, one second.
Wonderful. Okay, Ross, next one, up to you.
Okay, here we go. Oh, that's here.
Timer done.
That's the timer done. Okay, here we go.
Next timer. Next team out is...
Munich Red.
Munich Red. Off we go. Bayern Munich. Wow.
I mean, they're now coming into really peak form under Ancelotti.
Although
they just lost against Hoffenheim, what can we take out of that game? My hot take on Twitter was Thiago is so important to that team.
Absolutely.
They do not, which is quite incredible, they don't have the depth to go without Thiago.
Absolutely.
Alonso and Sanchez came in. Vidal, I think, started as well, right?
Xabi Alonso was good in that game, though. I thought he was good.
Okay.
His passing was still excellent, but what I'd like to see and will be key against Dortmund is who are these second guys that are going to step up? I don't know whether Thiago's going to play on the weekend. Thomas Müller's not in. Neuer's probably not in. you know, we talk about Bayern's depth all the time. Well, it'd be nice to see something of it. Right. You know, Hoffenheim kept Robin quiet. They kept Coman quiet. Mats Hummels had the best chance other than Lewandowski. That says a lot about the game. Their centre-back had the best chance, you know.
I watched a really good analysis of the game on Süddeutsche Zeitung, and they were pointing out the fact that Vidal in the 10 role didn't press Rudy enough. Yeah. So basically Bayern were outnumbered when they were building up. So you had Baumann, you had the three defenders, and you had Rudy. So they were able to bypass that really quickly. And so it's interesting to see if that will change against Dortmund, because Dortmund will play probably exactly the same way. Three at the back, Weigl in front, so they'll be able to bypass the early press. Thiago has been just been so important to them this year. Lewandowski, you can't rely on him to do everything. I have my doubts about Xabi Alonso. I know that you disagree, but to be fair, before that, they had really come into a good patch of form.
Unbelievable.
I still don't think they're as good as Guardiola's team, but they're hitting form at the right time, and when they go into the Champions League, I think they've got a really good chance of going that step further.
But this is a big test, right? You lose to Hoffenheim, right. Okay, it's the kind of defeat that can happen at any time during the season, but if you lose to Dortmund on the weekend, right, that's two defeats in a row, you'll have lost both league games against Dortmund this season, and that's the preparation you have for playing
one team
Real
league?
Madrid.
One team league.
Ha. Then that's the preparation you have for playing Real Madrid, right? Which is the game for you this season. And you come off two defeats. Now, everybody's been raving about how great they've been before. Very, very big game for them, I think, on Saturday, all of a sudden, you know? I mean, not in the context of points, they're probably going to win the league even if they lose it anyway. Mm. But it's a case of, what's the preparation like going into Real Madrid? Because everybody knows it's all about the Champions League.
Yeah. Did you notice any differences in Bayern's defence now that Boateng and Hummels are fit again? Because obviously, you know, Boateng's been out for the whole season, so we've had Martinez in there. Have you noticed any differences?
Martinez played instead of Boateng on Tuesday night, and I thought that was an interesting decision, maybe resting Boateng for Saturday. But they're not... They looked a bit exposed at times, and the first 20 minutes it looked like they were just overrun. And to be honest, the better side would have put them to bed. That'll be the test for Dortmund on Saturday. But Bayern, it all depends on the Champions League, doesn't it?
Yeah. So are Bayern going to win the league?
Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Are they going to win the Pokal?
Maybe not.
Are they going to win the Champions League?
They should do.
No. Done. So yeah, there you go.
2-1. Timers. Thank you very much.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely. Okay.
Your turn.
My turn. Right, okay. God, I'm loving these names.
Yeah.
These names are quality. Right. HSV forever, ever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Hamburg. You should start.
Yeah, well, Marcus Gisdol has done an absolutely outstanding job.
He has.
Because given the way that the relegation setup has worked this year, where everyone is winning, that's the thing, compared to last year, nobody could buy a win. This year, everyone is winning. If Hamburg hadn't turned things around, they would have been cannon fodder, basically, this
absolutely.
Year. And that's all down to Marcus Gisdol. 8 games at home unbeaten. I think it's a phenomenal record for any team at that in that area of the league. It's changed the whole kind of mentality around the club. I think mentally a lot stronger. They're able to stand up to challenges, even against Dortmund at Signal Iduna Park. They didn't bottle it. You know, no. They lost 3-0, but they didn't bottle it.
But it wasn't a 3-0 game.
Yeah, exactly. They had chances. I think Bobby Wood, his development has just been fantastic at Hamburg. He's gone from being a kind of average second division striker, 1860, then Union. He had a really good season at Union, but now he's like, wow, 10 million striker, I think.
Yeah,
he's very, very good. I think they're going to be safe, although we had a look at the table before and it's only 4 or 5 points, but
yeah.
I still think Hamburg's home record speaks for itself.
Definitely.
And I think they've got enough to
they sort showed
it out. Yeah.
They showed it against Dortmund, and I think the improvement under Gisdol is evident in their form. I think they're in the top 5 in the last 5 games for form, you know, and that's along with Bayern and Dortmund, you know, and that says a lot. You know, before, I can't remember, I think it was before this week, the midweek games, but they've collected the same amount of points in the second half of the season as Dortmund and Hoffenheim.
Right. The form table, where are they in the form table, 4th or 5th, right, in the last 5 or 6 games?
You're talking about coming into form exactly the right time, you know, and they were gone for a while there, you know, and it looked obvious that they were going to struggle again, but what a relief it would be for that team and that city not to be in a relegation fight for once. You know?
Unfortunately, they might still be.
It's a long way to go.
But I mean, the encouraging thing about Hamburg is that I think in years gone by, there's been the sense that there wasn't a lot of team unity and a lot of players were doing it for themselves. This year, I think you can see that
team.
The players are working together. Lewis Holtby, again, fantastic. What a player. Sakai, I think, as a captain, has been really underrated. He's done really well. Rennie Adler, he's done all right.
Yeah.
He's actually not done too bad. They've got a derby coming up in the next few weeks. I think that'll be a big test for them in terms of, you know, how Bremen have been playing the last few games, but in terms of just getting the relegation battle out of the way, they've got to keep winning. overall, I think it's turned into quite a good season for Hamburg.
I think they're going to be fine, though. I think, look at the teams down there and how they're playing, not necessarily just at the results, but how they're playing, I think Hamburg should be all right.
Mm. And in terms of going into next season, where do you think they need to strengthen? Do they need to spend a lot of money?
I think they need to spend a bit of money, absolutely. Right. They need some support for Bobby Wood. They definitely need some help at the back, you know, a bit more depth there just to make sure that that's the case. I wouldn't mind someone to help Holby. I feel like Holby's on his own a lot in midfield and plays a bit like, you know, Weigl has to carry everything at Dortmund. Holby has to carry everything at Hamburg. Bang! 3 seconds, thank you very much. Don't rush this up again.
Wow, so we've got rid of Leverkusen, Hamburg and Bayern. Okay, here we go.
You ready for draw?
It is... Eintracht.
Where
do we start? Oh, they haven't scored in, what, 5 games?
They haven't won a game in 2017.
Oh, my goodness. Like, they were the fourth best team at the winter break. What happened?
I'm willing to accept blame for writing a piece after the defeat that they had in Leverkusen where I said one defeat won't stop them. Well, it turns out it absolutely has. Just woeful. They've been a bit unlucky at times, but at the same time, you know, look at the Freiburg game, they're a bit unlucky with the refereeing decisions.
Right, but still,
it's a phenomenal drop-off from a side that were doing all of these, you know, they showed everything that you'd expect from a team. They didn't have any big names, but they were performing. Kovac was getting everything right. Defensively, they looked solid. They had one of the most underrated keepers in the league. And suddenly... that doesn't count for anything. They can't buy a result.
I saw the 1-0 win against Schalke in the Veltins Arena, and I was so impressed at how comfortable it was for them. They were so good. They totally bossed the game, dominated everything, and scored the goal from the set piece, right? So it was a perfect game for Kovac. However, I think the lack of goals has to be a huge concern. I don't even think defensively they're doing that badly. I don't think there's a huge difference. I think when Vallejo was out of the team, I think you could notice a little bit of a change there. Hasebe, when he plays as a sweeper, I think gives them a little bit more protection. He's not in the team right now because he's injured. But going forward, the lack of goals is just so problematic.
And I think if, you know, Seferovic is leaving, right, Alex Meyer is 100 years old, and if you're still relying on Alex Meyer to be your 15, 20 goals a season, that's a problem.
But they don't have a replacement for him. That's a big problem.
And I think that's the one thing they're going to have to address in the summer. If they can get someone... because, I mean, Hugota's all right, but he's not the man to score 18 goals in the season. And that, you're right, that's been a real problem for them. It's been encouraging to see them play some of the younger kids, though. Bakalos is all right, Rebic is okay.
Marius Wolf came into the team and did quite well.
Yeah, they've got some good players in there, but they do need... They could do with a Bobby Wood, you know? Something like that. Some sort of...
Burgstaller.
A name. Or Burgstaller.
Would have been a great signing for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, defensively, I still think they're doing as good as they were, but going forward, they're not as ruthless. Question to you, John, with 40 seconds on the clock, are they going to qualify for Europe?
No, I think it's probably a good thing that they won't. I think they've dropped off. You can see the difference. A lot of other teams have started to pick up the pace, pick up more points, you know? And get results. Cologne, Hertha, Hoffenheim, these teams that are staying really in those blocks. Frankfurt have dropped off too much. You can't go the whole, you know, what is it, April, they haven't won a game. You know, it can't go that long. I think it's good for them, though.
Yeah, agreed. Does that constitute a good season, Matteo? Yeah, given where they were in the winter break? Really? Yeah, interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to take it into a perspective. Yes, it's a disappointing season when, you know, the ambitions were so high early on. But they nearly got relegated last season, so hey.
Yeah, all hail Niko Kovac.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Right. There we go. Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. 3 minutes are up. Next team is out. And it is... Carnival Club!
Yeah! Not so much of a carnival in Mainz right now, is there?
No. Not so much.
What can we say about Mainz? They are in deep shit.
If you want to put it like that, absolutely. I mean, one thing that they can perhaps be encouraged by is their performance last night against Leipzig. Mm. At least they showed a bit of fight. However... with the fight that was shown, there was also a woeful amount of, you know, just abject defending. Look at the goals. The header from Sabitzer is a flick back from Forsberg that's like a PlayStation move, right? There's no way she'd do that. And then Sabitzer is tiny, and he beats Hack to the header. And you're just like, how is that happening?
Smallest guy on the pitch.
Well,
other than Pablo de Blasis.
Other than de Blasis. It turned into a nasty game, right? Red cards, one red card, 9 yellows, I think. Yeah. So, and yes, Mainz had something to show for it. It might have had a point in at the end. They were offside with Stanali with that chance, but they're in tumbling sense of form, you know, and it's a real concern.
I think at this point in the season, when you have that kind of that kind of run of games where you're 5-6 games without a win, it's so hard to get out of
mentally
it.
Mentally as well.
Now, the question is for Mainz, based on the media reports, are they going to get rid of Martin Schmidt? Well, and should they get rid of him?
Well, Ruben Schroeder said after the game yesterday that Martin Schmidt was going to be in the dugout for the game against Freiburg. So, fine. But, you know, Freiburg away for Mainz is a really difficult task. And I think that we just talked about it before we did this segment. You know, if you fire him, you 6 games to go. Who's realistically going to come in and have enough time there to have a positive effect? Hoop Stevens isn't around anymore.
It's pointless.
You know, it's difficult. And if you promote a youth coach, it's too much pressure on someone.
Yeah, you're throwing him under the bus, basically.
Absolutely. You know, difficult situation.
I saw a lot of Mainz fans at the game, like, doing what ultras tend to do, and they go really angry.
Yeah,
and I'm like, come on, guys, you've overperformed for about a decade. You still have one of the lowest budgets in the league. I know you've had good times, but a little bit more perspective. Okay, even if you go down, keep Martin Schmidt and just build on it and come back in.
Christian Heidel's absence is huge.
Yeah.
And I think that you're starting to see the reasons for that, because the signings that they've made haven't exactly been electric. Bojan,
very hit and miss. Very hit and miss.
What is it?
Quaison
is coming
in. Yeah.
A bit left field.
But I think when you lose Karius and Baumgartlinger and you have to replace them as well,
absolutely,
you're losing the spine of your team.
And you know,
it's
just
too much.
Further back, Yunus Mali as well. And promoting, you know, like players that were really key players for the team. You know, I think they've done well to last this long.
Yeah, and you've got to even if they get relegated. There's got to be perspective that they've done so well to stay in the Bundesliga over a decade.
Absolutely.
They've done so well to get into Europe. Unfortunately, they're not a big club.
No.
There are teams in the second division who probably spend more money than them. So
they're going to be in the relegation fight?
Yes.
There you go. And will they go down?
Yes.
Ross says it.
Well, maybe no. They're going to the playoff.
Relegation playoff.
Yes.
Head it here first. 3 minutes are up. Ross Dunbar.
Sorry, Mainz.
Okay,
we'll go for a white one.
No need for a carnival.
It is. The Miners.
The Miners!
Schalke.
Schalke, where do we start?
Off the back of a 3-0 defeat at Werder Bremen. Deary me.
I mean, nobody's better at Bremen at the moment.
We have said on this podcast before that we are prepared to give Marcus Weinziel and Christian Heidel
time.
A full year
and
then see what happens. It's getting to the point now where it's kind of like, when is this going to get better?
Yeah,
I mean, are we basically relying on the Europa League now for Schalke? Is that where their season rests on?
If they played like they played in the last 15, 20 minutes of the derby every week, they'd be fine. But they don't. And, you know, to be honest, that's the biggest issue for me with Schalke. There are still a few things that I think Bayern's just going to want to change in the summer. I think if they finish mid-table and they make the Europa League semi-finals, absolutely fine. You know, like a decent season, a season in transition. A lot has changed in the background of the club. You know that Heidel's coming in and spending all this money on improving the facilities and improving the club. That's going to take time. I think if they finish mid-table, you just say, difficult season, but... Crikey. That's how I'd say it. You slap your fist on the table. Difficult season, but you'd give Weinziel another half a season, I think. Because
I mean, it took Christian Heidel 15 years to get Mainz into the Bundesliga.
Yeah,
so
Heidel's a different role. You know, he's going to be there
for a while, right?
So that's not a problem. But Weinziel has to start showing a bit more consistency, I think.
Yeah, consistency is the huge problem. I don't think individual quality is a huge issue.
Really
Bentaleb, I think, has done really, really well. That's a smart signing to get him permanently. Even guys like Tilo Kehrer, who have come in from the youth academy,
absolutely,
have looked really good. So the foundations are there, but some really awful games where it seems to me they throw in the towel if they're 1 or 2-0 down.
Absolutely. They could do with another defensive leader like Kovacic, because I think Nastasic is okay. Naldo is old and injured. They need something.
Guys hasn't really done it.
Guys has been woeful in midfield.
Yeah.
I think they do need someone else there. Max Meyer needs to perform. I think he's been massively
disappointed
this season. Leon Goretzka's been brilliant, okay?
Yeah,
but he can't carry the whole team
on
his shoulders. And I think, you know, the fact that Burgstaller has come in and been important for them in attack says a lot about the quality of their strikers. Okay, Mbolo's injured, but he's going to come back and maybe be a different striker after that injury. It's a serious injury to his ankle, so that you never know how that's going to work out. Difficult for a record signing. Huntelaar's probably going to leave in the summer, right? He's getting to the point where he's done his time at the club. Choupo-Moting is a winger.
Not a top four player.
DeSanto is not a top four player. So you need some big changes in the summer, I think.
Right. Are they going to get sucked into a relegation battle?
One more win, and I think they'll be all right.
Interesting. Europa League, can they win it? I think they can win it.
I think they can win it.
Is that a good thing, though, to get into the Champions League with that squad? Oh, God, we've got 5 seconds left. No, agreed.
Done. Yeah. Wonderful. Easy. Although, if you ask Neville Bentaleb, you know we need to. Right, next team out.
Echte Lieber. So we're going from Schalke to Dortmund.
How fitting.
How fitting.
From blue to yellow.
Yeah. It's a very hard one. It's a very hard one with Dortmund because there are times when it's easy to say that they've got young players, they're inexperienced and they're not at this level, and there are times where it's like they're playing great football, they're definitely on course to hit their objectives. So what's the problem? You know, why are we complaining?
Absolutely. Well, Thomas Tuchel was complaining after the game because he feels like his side should really be putting games to bed sooner. And I think that's fair enough. Mm. But you're right, you know, at the end of the day, still winning, still picking up points, still on course to qualify for the Champions League. At the end of the day, the difference between second and third is only really one of pride. It doesn't matter too much so long as you're making the European competition. They're still in the semi-finals of the Cup, and against Bayern across 90 or 120 minutes, that's a lot easier for them, I think, than playing them in the league. And they're in the Champions League. They're in quarterfinals, and they got a great draw.
Against Monaco.
And they got a great draw. Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm not saying Monaco are easy, but they could have had
tougher opponents.
You're right. You're right to say they're perfectly placed to achieve all the objectives that they can. And let's look at it one way. I think, you know, I don't know whether they beat Bayern in the Cup semi-final. Maybe they lose. But I think they can beat Monaco. And then you're in the semi-finals of the Champions League. And if you avoid Bayern, there's no reason why you can't be thinking of the final at that point. But I think Dortmund are perfectly set up for cup competitions, for knockout competitions, because I think they play better when they know we have to do it now. Because if we don't, it's all over.
Right.
I think they're getting better at doing it, okay, season, long haul, long slog. I think they're getting better at that, but that comes with experience. But they are suited to knockout tournaments.
Depth is still a problem.
Yeah,
I still think that when you take Pulisic or Dembele out of the team, you're left with a bit of a hole because you don't have anyone who can go in there in the Bundesliga and make a difference. Kagawa, to be fair, in the last few weeks has done really, really well.
But
I still don't think Castro is up to the kind of level they need in that position.
Marcel Schmelz has been much better, I have to say.
Bartra's had a decent season,
Bartra's
I think.
Bartra's played much better. I think Bartra's solidified his spot now to play centre-back with Socrates. Toprak's going to have some work.
That's a bit of a strange signing anyway.
It is, but I mean, Bartra's played well enough to say, hey, you can't just come in here and steal my spot. I think that's key.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about Mo Dahoud going to Dortmund?
12.
I thought you looked at me there as if you want to say it's bad.
No. I'm very excited.
Very good signing.
Very good signing. I think he can be as effective for them as Gundogan was.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Similar plan.
So, how's this season going to pan out then for Dortmund?
They're going to finish in the top three?
Yes.
Right, they're going to make the cup final, win the cup?
Yes.
Win the cup, okay. And Champions League?
Semi-finals.
Which, in all,
would be a great season, yeah.
Would be a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Cool.
3-1.
Well done, Dortmund.
Yeah.
Right, next team. I'm liking this, like, Pro Evo name. Like,
yeah.
Munich Red, I got that. What have we got? Augsburg.
I could think of one for Augsburg.
Augsburg. Well, they are the side I'm worrying about the most.
Yeah. Finally, my confidence in Ingolstadt is beginning to pay dividends. Yeah. I have backed them to the hilt on this podcast, and I am convinced that they're going to be in with a really good shot of staying up.
One of the reasons for that is because Augsburg have been.
They suck big time. Yeah.
The fact that they sort of came back against Ingolstadt.
Right. Yeah.
Game, yeah. Okay. But they've not played well for a while.
The only positives I have for Augsburg are that they've got a good coach, Manuel Baum. Yeah. He knows the club quite well, so that's okay. They've got a bit of stability. Daniel Bayer is back from injury.
Yeah, that's big.
And Alfie Finnbogason is back.
Good striker.
So that's good. They've got something there, but.
It's two players.
Yeah, it's two players. And Ingolstadt are 4 points behind. They've got Darmstadt at home on Saturday. If they win that, it's down to 1 point. I mean, they're really being sucked into
it. Augsburg have got to go to Berlin, and that's no easy task.
Not an easy game,
so,
is it?
I mean, the interesting thing is, right, there are some good players in this team. I mean, Kevin Danzo, for example, has come in, and I think he's been pretty talented. But it's at this stage of the season, with 7 games to go, you're in a relegation fight. Do you want the pressure to be on the shoulders of these young guys? Because I don't know whether they can handle it. The way they played against Ingolstadt, they looked like they were worried. You know, they didn't look like a team that were willing to take on the fight. I would be concerned. But, you know, from a fan perspective, it's the same issue, you know. We talked about it with Mainz. Augsburg have been playing above expectation for years.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that they're in a relegation fight now, well, hey, you know, guys.
Yeah, you've had a lot of good times.
You've had a lot of good times. Yeah. And I think it will be between them and Mainz for the playoff spot at the moment. Those are the two teams that I'm really, really worried about. Mm. You know, obviously, Ingolstadt, we'll talk about them when we get to them. But it's a concern, you know. Raul Bobadilla, they haven't had very many strikers where you've thought he's going to be the guy, other than Finn Bogason for a while. But defensively, inconsistent. Marvin Hitz is a good keeper as well, but you can't rely on him to save or even score goals all the time. So I don't know. I mean, they've hit bad form at the wrong time.
I'm pretty worried for them as well. I think they just lack a little bit of aggression, you know. I just think when I look at Augsburg and I watch them, they're really soft and really fragile. And you look at the goals they lost against Ingolstadt. The first one, ball comes into the 6-yard box, Danzo and hits. They don't really know what's going on. And I'm like, come on, guys, take some responsibility, clear the ball out, you know. And I just think at this point, headers. Yeah, I know. At this point in the season, to turn that around, that's going to be really hard. I think they're going to go down. I think they're going to go down automatically.
Wow.
I'm putting my faith in Ingolstadt.
Yeah, I think I can understand that.
Augsburg going down automatically.
And I think you just have to look at the way that they're playing to see that. Augsburg are not playing good enough football. Punkt. Yeah. Thank you very much. 3-2-1.
Thank you very much.
Ross Dunbar, you are up.
Here we go. Brace yourself.
Brace yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
Kölle Alaf.
We know what that means. Yeah, for anybody who thought when we mentioned Carnival Club earlier, we were talking about the wrong club. We are not.
The key question is Tony Modesta's rap song. What's your verdict?
Terrible.
Really? I actually really enjoyed it. I think it's pretty good.
The only good bit is Derek Ray.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Awesome. The hero of our times, Derek Ray. They're reliant on Modesta. Yeah. Okay. We know that.
22 goals.
But in the last few games, okay, other players have stepped up to the mark. Jojic, I think, has been playing really, really well. Scored in the win over Frankfurt. But I think generally has been playing really, really well. They've brought in some young players.
Is this a team that are completely exceeding expectations, though?
Yes, I think so. I don't think they're any better than the teams in the bottom half of the league. I think they're all on par. Outside of the top three, I think then they're all kind of like...
I think what's interesting is that if you look at Cologne's progress, you know, is it coming into the league, avoiding relegation, mid-table, and now look at them, you know, and it's been kind such gradual a perfect steps, graph yeah. for how to yeah. develop a club. And Stöger has to take a lot of responsibility for that. He has to take a lot of credit. And so does Schmacker for the signings that they made. Bittencourt's come in. I mean, the Modesta signings obviously proved huge. But as you say, players like Jojic, it'll be interesting to see where they finish. You know, are they going to get a European spot? If they do, who's going to join them? If they don't, who's going to leave them?
Now, the Europa League situation is kind of a little bit precarious because if you get Europa League, it probably is going to hinder your league form. Now, are Cologne set up to the level where they can afford that next season? I'm not sure, but for a club of that size, getting into Europe is a huge milestone. Like, based on where they've been the last few years, that's a club with so much potential. The city has so much potential.
Absolutely.
And they could attract some really, really good players.
And you know, how do you feel if you're a Cologne fan and suddenly you know, you see on the calendar next year trips to Florence, trips to, you know, like, that's brilliant.
To Baku.
Yeah, trips to Azerbaijan.
Of course.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what you want. Mm. Right? That's fantastic. And I think you're right, they can recruit some really exciting players. But are they going to get it? It's a quick question.
I do think they'll get it. Is that the difference between Cologne and Frankfurt? Is that Cologne have Anthony Modesta and Frankfurt don't?
Absolutely, right? 22 goals. I also think that the difference is there that they've held their consistency, you know, whereas Frankfurt have just tumbled down the table. 22 goals, though.
Yeah.
Too good for China, so certainly too good for Frankfurt.
Again, home record is good. Yeah. And that's a big thing for Cologne, is that they're getting a lot of the results at home. I think they've got enough to get Europe. I think they've got a solid team. Like you said, it's been gradual progress rather than just a kind of...
Who would they buy or where would they need to buy if they make Europe in terms of
depth? They definitely need to strengthen an attack.
Yeah.
Osako's been injured the last few games, so I think you see that in how they play, that, you know, him certainly on the treatment table is not good. Modesta, you can't rely on him. I think you need a second striker and maybe a winger.
But they're going to make Europe?
Yes.
Wonderful. Off we go. Cologne, get ready to party. Next team out. It's going to be Munich Blue.
Munich Blue.
Energy Drink FC.
Perspective, it's been a great season.
It's been a great season,
but we all kind of a little bit of his thought, you know, I really want it to be a title race, yeah. and I really want Leipzig to win it. Yeah.
Although, you know, if Dortmund beat Bayern, then it's 9 points.
Maybe.
No, there is no title race. But, end of the day, they had a slump.
Yeah.
They really did. But credit to them and Hasenhüttl for you know, changing that and coming out of it and playing well. You know, the fact that they beat a side in a relegation fight 3-2, showed some grit, took their chances, held on to an extent at the end, says a lot about where they are.
Mm.
Timo Werner is huge for them. Yeah. Absolutely huge. And I'd be surprised, okay, it probably makes sense for him to stay there for the next couple of seasons, but if they're in the Champions League next year, which they will be, he's going to want to play and impress on that stage. And if he does, he won't be there next season. It's just
right.
too good.
Right.
Just too good. And also...
But if Leipzig as a club match that progress, then maybe.
Maybe. But maybe. Even then, I think the one thing that will take players away from Leipzig and to other clubs, even if sporting-wise you have the same opportunities, financially if you have the same opportunities, it is prestige. If you get the opportunity to play for clubs like, I don't know, I mean, Bayern Munich, obviously one of them, but Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester United,
Arsenal,
Liverpool,
yeah.
these clubs who have history, prestige,
yeah.
tradition, and have a very, very strong fan base, that's impossible, I think, I mean, I'm imagining, but as a player, to say no to.
Although Naby Keita, when he scored,
yeah.
we started pointing to the Red
sure
Bull
that.
Logo.
I'm not sure about
what
that.
Are you doing?
He's definitely
what
not.
What the fuck are you doing?
Especially last week, especially after saying last week, I want to achieve the same things as Messi, or, you know, I want to be considered in the same respect as Messi. Well, you're not going to do that at Leipzig.
No.
So, on that note...
Not at the moment.
But on that note, though, what a goal.
Right, yes, it was.
Unbelievable.
It was.
It's been a great season. I think they've benefited enormously from having to not worry about almost anything else other than the Bundesliga.
Yeah,
it's
a huge
That's
advantage,
not
yeah.
to be
huge
underestimated.
Advantage.
They've just had that focus. I'm excited from a sporting perspective to see how they handle Europe next season.
I think we've seen after the winter break that this pressing system under Hasenhüttl relies on a kind of 12 or 13 man squad. Once you get out of that
yeah.
and you start bringing in Poulsen, you start bringing in I don't know, I've kind of lost my chain of thought, this guy Palacios who came in against Dortmund, when you start bringing these guys in from outside, it loses its effect, right? Because you've got to work on it
and they get tired, right?
Yeah, and I think you've seen that. Timo Werner obviously got injured with the international duty. He's been a huge loss, and I don't think either Burke or Poulsen took their opportunity
yeah,
when it came.
Are they going to sign anyone big in the summer?
No.
Okay. But they're going to be in Europe next season.
They'll be Champions League, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Energy drinks all around. Oh, it's you.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I just pulled out energy drinks.
Yeah.
Next team. Not many to go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
Die Elf von Niederrhein.
Oh, lovely. Die Elf von Niederrhein, which is...
Mönchengladbach.
Well done. There we go. Lovely. So, wow. That's Laszlo Benes. What a goal.
Yeah, I mean, again... It's been a season of two halves for Mönchengladbach. Avoid the cliche. Since Schubert has gone out, Hecking's come in and done a really good job.
Perfect guy for the role, isn't he?
They were really unlucky in the Europa League. I mean, that was a game that could have gone either way against Schalke, who you know,
against them.
Yeah, exactly. They're still in the cup semi-final, so they've got a chance of even getting to Berlin. They should, and they should get to Berlin.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to end the season.
Absolutely.
My concern is losing Dahoud. Can they replace him and still maintain that kind of level, being a top six club? It's hard to do that.
I think the problem as well, a bit like different from Leverkusen in many respects, but similar, is that they need the Champions League, you know, to keep operating at the level that they want to, and they're not going to get it this year. But if they get the Europa League, that's okay. I think if you stay in the European conversation, that's fine. I think the danger for them is falling out of that completely.
Mm.
Has financial impacts, but it also has impacts on the club. You know, as a club, in that situation, you can't afford to be out of the picture for too long, especially if you need to replace players like Dude. They can still make it, but
4 points off the Europa League.
It's
definitely possible.
Definitely possible. And I think we talked about sides in terrible form in the relegation fight earlier. Gladbach are in great form going into that final stretch of the season. So it's in their favour, but they've got to go and do it.
The good thing about Mönchengladbach compared to Leverkusen, I think, is that they're not relying on Champions League money.
That's true.
They have not gone out there and spent huge sums of money on players
based on that competition.
Yeah. They've got really solid foundations with Max Eberl as the sporting director, and I think if you're a Gladbach fan, you might be willing to lose the Champions League if you're in the German Cup final this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a club like that hasn't really got a lot of titles in the last 10, 15 years. And
just a chance to,
yeah,
to
win something. To win something.
Yeah.
I think in the league, they're perfectly set up to get into the Europa League. And that would be a great season for them.
It really would. But one thing I'm worried about for them next year is whether they make Europe or not, is how are they going to fill the Andreas Christensen-sized hole in their defence? Because the guy has been huge for them.
Huge player.
You look at the way that if he's gone, you basically just have Vestergaard and then you've got Janschke and not much there.
Yeah, it's not
right?
much.
That will be Max Abel's number one task in the summer. Great that he's staying.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bayern didn't want to pay 10 million euros for him, but great for Gladbach.
Yeah,
But
and
he keeps
delivering when you know
does.
When the questions are put to him in the transfer market, he keeps doing the job.
So fingers crossed. I mean, hey, Laszlo Benes looks like a decent piece of business.
We haven't mentioned the key man yet, and we're going into the last 10 seconds. So all I'm going to say is Lars Stindl to be the next German Chancellor.
Wonderful. Yes.
That sign up for that.
Never mind, Raphael.
Yeah.
Lars Stindl. Thank you very much. Yeah, good point. Good point. Right, off we go.
Next one.
Village Club.
Village Club. You were there.
I was there.
Yeah, it was the village.
Well, the village is tiny and strange and a little bit odd. And it feels very commercial. You drive off the motorway, you drive to the stadium, it's a bit like, oh.
A Champions League club?
not at all, really. But they will be next season. And that is because of Julian Nagelsmann. You're 29 years old, absolutely phenomenal job that he's done there. But it does feel very much like he is the star.
Is that a consequence of his age, though?
Not and his actions, and his coaching. But, you know, yes, the team is playing well and they deserve recognition, but it feels more like this is about him. And that's not because he's generating that vibe.
Right.
He's not going after it. Mm. It's just that his actions are making that happen. So it was a bit strange being there. Sinsheim is a very, very small place. It doesn't feel like this club is on the verge of something brilliant, you know, like, oh, this is huge. It feels a bit odd, but Nagelsmann certainly is. Tactically, you're so spot on against Bayern. I can't remember the first 45 minutes that Bayern had been so outplayed than that game. The decision to play three centre-backs this season, move Kevin Vogt into the centre, play Hübner, Vogt and Zule has been inspirational.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Koljan
yeah.
and Zuber are wide. The fact that Zuber is a midfielder and he's playing that well, he even said after the game, Nagelsmann, I don't know very many defenders who have kept Robin and Coman that quiet this season. And the fact that he's saying that about a guy he converted from left midfield says everything you need to know about Hoffenheim and Nagelsmann.
Yeah, I mean, they are leading the way when it comes to innovation. You know, if you look at what they're doing behind the scenes with the football knot and they've got an innovation department and all these kind of things. There's a great piece on ESPN by Stefan Josfeld that you should read.
Dembo.
From Sinsheim. It's fantastic. They're a club that's leading the way in terms of how to be a modern football club. Unfortunately, they don't have a huge tradition.
No.
So when Nagelsmann goes, they're going to have a problem.
Really
and are. I think you see that with Wolfsburg, when they won the league, when Magath left, you know, they don't have that kind of pressure around the club. I tend to call it a holiday camp, but Nagelsmann has turned it from a holiday camp into a club where you know if you give everything, you're going to impress people, you're going to get your name out there, and you're going to improve, and you're going to get your big move eventually. And Sandro Wagner is a good example of that. He's knuckled down and he's become a great striker. He says he's the best German striker. I probably say he's got a good point there. But you're right, Sebastian Rudi as well.
It's going to be
a fantastic
loss.
Yeah, you're right. It's a huge loss. He's had a fantastic season. If Hoffenheim qualify for the Champions League, why are you going to Bayern Munich? You know, stay for the Champions League.
It's frustrating. Look, Nagelsmann's going to enjoy Europe, but in the same respects we spoke earlier about Timo Werner using the Champions League as a stage to step forward, Nagelsmann's going to do the same.
Should he leave in the summer?
No, he should stay. He should do the Champions League with Hoffenheim. He should see what it's like to play that competition. He talked about winning it one day. Why not? But stay there one more year and see how we go.
Two
what a season.
One. Yeah, fantastic.
Season.
Team of the season.
Right. Team of the season. Right, thank you very much.
Here we go.
One, two, three, four, five left.
Five left. We've really rattled through this, haven't we?
We have rattled through us.
Here we go.
Okay.
Bring back Dirk Schuster.
Ah!
Yes. Yes.
Oh, brilliant name.
Yes.
Bring back Dirk Schuster.
Bring back Dirk Schuster. Like, okay, Darmstadt are bottom of the league. They're going to get relegated.
Do you not think that Torsten Frings has got them playing better
football? Yeah, but Dirk Schuster had that kind of, like, galvanising effect,
but
you know? If I want a guy in the trenches with me,
yeah,
it's Dirk Schuster.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I think Torsten Frings are maybe not so much evident anymore, but I don't think Torsten Frings is to blame here. I think,
oh, he isn't. No, you're right.
I think Darmstadt
right.
have actually been all right in a lot of games. The deciding factor is they're just not good enough.
Yeah, that's it. And that's okay, because
that's okay. You know,
they have punched well above their weight to even get into the Bundesliga. They should not have even got to the Bundesliga.
No.
So they got there, they stayed there, they had a second season, and
it's
yeah,
dream, really.
It's phenomenal. And you can't look at it negatively.
No.
What they need to do is consolidate in the second division, because when you take Hannover and Stuttgart out, there's going to be a vacuum there where teams can really assert themselves as a top team, and Darmstadt can do that right away. They've got a solid squad. I don't think they'll lose many players, because I don't think many of them are good enough to come back to the Bundesliga. So all in all,
only Aitak Sulu.
Aitak Sulu. Sydney Sam. No. But all in all, they've had an okay season, even though they're bottom of the league.
Yeah.
And
that win against Dortmund goes down as a highlight. And
yeah,
you know what,
exactly.
The fans had another Bundesliga season to enjoy.
They would have loved that. The stadium looks better. I mean, they're starting to invest in the infrastructure.
Yeah.
I think when they got promoted, they didn't even have a training ground.
Yeah, I think they were just completely overwhelmed by the fact they got. And I think, look, you're right. There will be a vacuum in the second division. They have to look to exploit that. And it will be a test of Thorsten Frings' coaching ability, because he looks like he has potential. If he gets them back in the mix after relegation this season, if they're back in the conversation next season, then that says a lot about how much of a coach he is. And I think that's why he took the job. He knew that they were probably going to get relegated, but it's an opportunity for him to say, okay, I'll bring them back up.
You mentioned this to me before, that a lot of these coaches who come through the Hennes Weisweiler Academy, they're all asked to do a dossier on how they would model the club.
Yeah.
Do you think Thorsten Frings is the guy to be there for 4 or 5 years and model the club to come back into the Bundesliga?
I think he has the opportunity to be that guy. I think the way that the system is set up in Germany is that you give those coaches the opportunity, and he will undoubtedly get that time if he keeps the way that they're playing up and the results up. The problem is if Darmstadt go down and turn into one of these sides that go down and then mid-table and then down
Paderborn.
Yeah, well, maybe not as severe, but like, you know, if they struggle, then he won't be in the job for very long, because Darmstadt can't afford all of that. They can't afford to invest in the infrastructure to keep that squad together and then be relegated again.
Yeah.
So
just for extra information, Paderborn's decline has been so huge that they could be in the same league as our local team.
Wow.
Next year.
There you go.
That's
warning
phenomenal
to Darmstadt.
Yes.
Wonderful,
yeah.
We got 1, 2, 3,
here we go.
3 minutes.
Here we go.
Off we go. Das Auto.
Das Auto. Yeah, I was going to name it in tribute of Mario Gomez, who has been phenomenal.
Absolutely. I think the first game he hasn't scored under Andreas Juncker was last night. So, and he should have, even though he was offside and it wasn't given, but he had a huge chance. They've turned it around, but they're still on the roundabout. I think that's the best way to describe it. They haven't quite turned off yet, because they are still in the relegation fight. They do have some troubling games coming up, and they have to play Ingolstadt, not this weekend but next. It's tough.
They're still in second gear.
Not stalling yet.
Not stalling yet.
But it could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Okay, we need to stop it.
Yeah, stop the car,
mate. Wolfsburg are in trouble.
Yeah, because if they had gone down,
well,
they might still go down, but I mean, if they go down, that club will find it hard to get back up.
I think a lot of players will leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Turn into one of these
mass exodus,
disappearing second division clubs that nobody goes to. And I think the one thing that might save them, other than Mario Gomez, is the fact that there are sides playing worse football than them at the moment, and quite frankly there is a stupid amount of quality in that club for them to even be in the conversation. Jonker's obviously calmed things down, settled it, but they shouldn't be anywhere near this situation. We're talking about a side that won the German Cup not too long ago, and it really does show you how Kevin De Bruyne, how he was even in this team in the first place. You know, he's just leagues away from this situation.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they've got an outstanding amount of quality in
that
squad.
And
when Yunus Malí and Mario Gomez tick, something really good there. Like, they've got a really good understanding. And Mario Gomez, I mean, like, he's really shutting up a lot of the doubters, because his form in the last few games has been phenomenal. And that Leverkusen game, he was like a one-man machine.
That header, the first header, I think is probably one of the best goals I think I've ever seen him score.
Oh,
good.
I don't cheer for Wolfsburg, but I kind of got off my seat just for that header. It was fantastic.
Absolutely.
I think they've got too much to go down.
Too much to go down.
They've got
down.
Too much quality, and they're hitting form at a good time. Okay, they lost to Freiburg, but I think they can bounce back from that.
But not a good season.
No, you're right. It's not been a good season.
And I think that's the problem for them going forward, you know. yeah, okay, you've changed your manager from Hecking, and maybe that was, it was time to do that. I think.
But could they have done it in the summer?
Couldn't they have done it at a better time? Losing Draxler was a mess. That whole situation was a mess.
Well, that feels so long ago.
It does, but it's all happened this season, and I think they need to. They can't be in the same situation next season.
So what's realistic for them next season? Mid-table?
The club's ambitions and the quality in the squad, they have to be qualifying for Europa League next season.
Even with less money from Das Auto?
Even with less money.
Okay. Zoom.
Zoom. Well, okay. You or me?
It's me.
Okay.
Zoom. Whose tagline is that? Zoom. I can't remember. Tweet us if you know that.
Isn't that Bobby? No, that's...
Yeah, Bobby, what's your fridge for blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's it.
That was Citroen, wasn't it?
Citroen? Yeah, I love that advert.
Okay, sorry for the tangent.
Sorry, yeah, so tangent, back in the game.
Here we go, it is... We love Rothaus.
In
tribute to my favourite beer, which is from Freiburg.
Absolutely, and my favourite coach?
Yeah, of course, Christian Streich. Good buddies.
What a job.
He's done a great job, phenomenal. What? How does he keep doing this well? How?
And you know, okay, Nagelsmann gets coach of the year because he's, you know, young and exciting and all of that, but Christian Streich.
What is not exciting about riding a bike to your work every day?
What is not exciting about consistently taking a new group of players and making them finish above expectations in the top 10?
Yeah.
Let's not forget, this side won the league last year ahead of Leipzig.
Yeah.
And here they are. Everybody's talking about Leipzig, that's great, but Freiburg might even get to Europe. Right, and then you think about that squad.
Oh, I don't want that to happen.
No,
I don't want that to happen.
Because I think it would be better for them than the better wise if they didn't, and they just finished just outside it. But what a season. I mean, Niels Pettersson, I think all of the goals he scored this season have come off the bench. Florian Niederlechner
he's been fantastic,
suddenly looked like a Bundesliga player, like a Bundesliga striker. Unbelievable. The balance in midfield, Schwoller in goal, the fact that dealt with the
departure
of Burki, and Soyuncu getting better every game.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Vincenzo
that
Grigio,
shirt they've got.
I mean, the ground,
shirt,
the stadium.
I know, the beer, the sausages. Oh, I love Freiburg.
I tell you what, if you're not supporting any team at the moment, be a Freiburg fan.
Just be a Freiburg fan.
Fan.
Go along for the roller coaster.
Just absolutely fantastic. And get to a game before they move to.
I can't believe they're moving stadium. Now I don't like them.
They have to.
Do they though?
Financially, I think it's necessary.
Yeah, but I mean, surely you've got to pride something though. Yeah. Pride in the fact that you're different.
Strike's going to have to ride a bigger bike.
Yeah, bigger bike. Strike might actually drive a car to work.
Maybe. In all seriousness, they don't get Europe, or do they?
I think they might just miss out.
Okay.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
Mid-table, I think they'll be 9th or 10th. I actually tipped them to finish 8th this season, so I'm going to take all of the credit for this.
Well done.
Because I knew that Niederlechner would play this good.
Yeah.
I knew that Soyuncu would be this good. Yeah. No, I'm kidding, I don't. Of course not. I'm not that modest.
What do they do next season? Because I've heard that Vincenzo Grifo is supposed to be of great interest to Mönchengladbach. If they lose a few key players... It's not like Streich hasn't dealt with this situation before.
Right.
I have full confidence in him of doing it again. But what do you do now? You know, you exceed expectations, you finish in the top 10. Is Europe a target, or is it just consolidation?
I think in the same way that Mainz looked at things a few years ago, where it was like, okay, as long as we stay up, as long as we're competitive, and as long as we have a philosophy, then that's the most important thing. I don't think you can start chasing the dream. For a club like Freiburg, it's just not really sustainable. It probably never will be. I don't know what will happen with the new stadium in the future. Maybe it will. Grifo will be a huge loss. I could see him leaving. I think that's 99% going to happen. But you're right, they've got a good setup there, and I think they'll bounce back.
What a season.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I agree, Rothaus. Good beer.
Yeah.
Good beer. Ryan. Schalke Audi FC.
Yeah, Ingolstadt.
Team of the moment.
Team of the moment.
I wrote a piece last night and I just said, look, you know, this is a team that was written off at the start of the season. They lost Hasenhüttl, everybody said they were gone. They made a disappointing appointment with a second division manager, and then they made an obscure appointment by giving Mike Valpurgis the job, and everyone was like, who's this guy? Hasn't had a job in 3 years. Last time he coached was in the third division. What a choice.
Yeah.
They've been playing much better football since he was in charge. As I wrote last night, they've only lost five games by one goal. Shows how close they've come. Sonny Kittel said after the win last night in Augsburg, so often this season, we haven't rewarded ourselves for playing good football. Tonight we did that, and it is awesome. They are 4 points away from Augsburg, who they've basically sucked into the fight. They're probably going to beat Darmstadt on Sunday. And as you said earlier, that means 1 point difference, because I don't think Augsburg are going to get anything in Berlin. Wow.
What a turnaround.
What a turnaround.
Again, I think this, we said this before we came on air, that I think Ingolstadt are the team that has really underperformed in the table, right? The performances have deserved a lot more. I think they've been really unlucky with refereeing decisions. And I don't want to say the referees are to blame, but it doesn't even out over the season, because Ingolstadt have had the rougher edge, the rougher deal, right? I mean, Stindl's handball,
yeah.
Cologne, where they lost a weird penalty.
Yeah,
and stuff
2 minutes
like that.
Away from getting a point against Bayern as well.
Right, exactly. They've been on the cusp of something really, really good for the whole season, and it's all down to the fact they've got really good style of play. 3-4-3, it's always been the same. They've built up a really good understanding across the pitch. They've got some really good players as well. Tisserand, I think, at centre-back, is a really good player. Gregory, I think, has done really, really well. Cohen and Morales in midfield, they're not great players, but they've really made a difference. And then up front, you've got Pascal Gross and Dario Lescano, who have looked okay.
I think that's the thing about Ingolstadt, though. You know, largely, on paper, it's still a mediocre team.
It is, yeah.
But it's still a team.
But continuity. They've had continuity right through the season. They rarely make more than one or two changes.
And Valpurgis knows the value of that, and he's obviously shown his quality. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
I think he's really got them playing really, really well.
I think they could stay up.
I think they could get into the relegation playoff spot. I think they get into the playoff spot.
But I mean, if you suck Augsburg in,
yeah,
and you still got Mainz there, Hamburg were on 30 points, Wolfsburg were 30 points.
They've just won two in a row, right? That's
right.
Awesome.
So they've still got Leipzig to come,
and
Leverkusen to come,
and Bremen,
and Wolfsburg.
So
they've played Darmstadt on.
And they've got Darmstadt on Sunday. So they've got a really good chance.
And let's not forget, Leverkusen and Leipzig are the two teams that they beat in the first half of the season, so it's not unheard of. And at this stage, anyway, you know, we're into the final seven games. It doesn't matter who's who, because this is the time of the season where you get results.
Yeah.
Ingolstadt to stay up.
Agreed. I think they'll stay up.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a story. And for me, as good as often I'm getting into Europe, story wise.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, agreed.
Wonderful. Two left.
Two left. Oh, God. Who are they? I don't know.
Who are they?
Who are they? We'll pick this one. Here we go.
Who are you?
The old lady.
I'm loving these names. Well,
thanks very much.
Okay.
Yeah, Hertha's a weird one. They haven't been as good as the first half of the season, but they haven't been as bad in the second half of the season as they were last year when they completely fell away. So they have managed to stay in there, which is good. European football, I think, is really important for them, for that city, for the ambitions that they have with the new stadium, and obviously a long time away, but the ambitions that they have to be a top Bundesliga team, they've got to be consistently in Europe and not get knocked out by Brøndby in the first round. Please don't do that.
That's the only concern, right? You fight hard, you just about claw yourself over the line and qualify, and then you lose the qualifier.
They've got some good players again who have developed over this season.
I
think
like what they're doing.
Mittelstedt has been really good.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce his name. Turungria.
Yeah,
played at left back last night.
He was good. These guys coming through their
solid
academy, making some really good additions. And Dardai's son, 17-year-old, on the bench last night. I mean, it's nice to see a team, another Bundesliga team, making those steps forward. Been really impressed by them. I think they might lose John Anthony Brooks in the summer.
Okay.
I think that'll be a big loss.
Mm-hmm.
But they have enough quality about them. They're gonna have to make some signings if they want to be competitive in Europe. Do they make Europe?
Yes.
So Europe at the moment,
Europe,
Cologne and Hertha.
Yeah.
Not Gladbach. Tricky, because it's those three teams and
But if Gladbach win the cup, they're going to Europe.
Gladbach are not going to win the cup. Not going to beat Bayern.
Well, sure.
Well,
even if they get to the final and Dortmund have already qualified for Europe, I think they get into the Europa League, right? Don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because
they
actually got in last year.
That's how they got
for that reason.
Yeah.
Over the course of the season, I think Ibišević has been fantastic. Gets better and better. A real kind of leader of that team, which has been really impressive. Nicholas Stark at the back, I think, has done really, really well.
Marvin Plattenhardt as well.
Plattenhardt has been
pieces.
Yeah, he's been good.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, look, I think you're right to say that, you know, Frankfurt, the worst example of a side in the second half of the season after playing well in the first. Hertha, not the best example, but certainly not the worst.
Mm.
And they've been inconsistent. There was a moment where I thought, oh God, they're going to start falling off the...
Got to start winning away from home.
Off the radar.
Their best performances are coming at home.
It's interesting. So many sides this season, and it's not, you know, an abnormal thing to say in football, but have made
home their fortress. And it's like, you know, Freiburg have done it. If you look at teams who struggle away from home,
Hamburg as well, teams like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important to be able to get those results when you haven't got the support of your home ground.
Where do they need to strengthen?
Defensively, absolutely. But I think Jarstein's a good keeper. So
yeah, I think so.
And I think keep giving these young guys a chance. You know, you don't need to make any big signings. Just keep giving these young guys a chance. Europe next season.
We'll see where it goes after that.
We'll
yeah.
see. Right, last team.
Oof. Attention. I don't know who it is.
I don't even know. Have we missed
the suspense?
Oh, I know who it is.
Oh.
The Inform team.
The Inform team. Oh, we've left it until the end.
Wonderful.
Werder Bremen.
Werder Bremen.
Total football.
Unbelievable. And what frustrates me the most about this whole thing is that I think a month ago, Alexander Nuri was on the brink.
Yeah.
Come on. Give me a break.
His head was already in the noose. Yeah, I know.
I mean, look, no, I'm not saying that players who have interviews with me
I was going to say that
play well, but Thomas Delaney, no. In all seriousness, Bremen have had an unbelievable boost in form. To the fact that they have gone mathematically, and it's not a narrative I want to believe or discuss or spread, but the fact that mathematically they've gone from relegation candidates to Europa League possibles is insane. And the fact that they found their shooting boots, it says a lot about confidence in the team, but there is quality there, and I think they're finally showing it. Max Kruse, Thomas Delaney, Wiebe Valk finally playing well again. Just the coach deserves a lot of credit, but wow,
they've taken advantage of a very easy run of fixtures.
Yes. And that's good for them because it's not going to get easier now.
That's
they have
fine.
A tough run.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the stats show, I mean, I've got a piece coming out this week on Bremen, but the stats show that they are overperforming.
Mm-hmm.
They are still a 14th, 15th place team in the league. Defensively, they're still a complete disaster, but going forward, they're scoring more goals. Can they sustain that? Probably not. But at the end of the day, you've got to give them credit because they're winning. And I think people can get caught up too much in the numbers, get caught up too much in the data. They're winning games. They're ruthless. Even when they score one goal, they're still going and they keep going and they keep going. They are making better decisions in the last third. They're more aggressive. Delaney has been a great signing. I think it's even got Grilich and Junuzovic playing better.
Yeah.
So these little small things are turning into something a little bit better. Can they qualify for the Europa League? I can't see it. I can't see them continuing this.
I also think it would be best if they didn't, because that kind of head rush from one relegation situation to suddenly being in Europe is not good. However, this club is a European club.
Yes.
Right? It's massive. The stadium's fantastic.
Atmosphere's
the fan base
great,
is huge. This is one of the biggest clubs in Germany, and I think eventually that has to be the goal. They've got the pieces slowly together. They probably have to do a bit more work in the transfer market in an attempt to make their squad a bit better. I still think that there are some gaps, and as you say, defensively, they're still a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah,
but that's interesting, because Delaney said to me in the interview, the mindset of the club is score, not hold on. And that's been
It's worked for them in the last few games.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've got a derby coming up against Hamburg, where I think they'll be put to the test.
Yeah.
Hamburg are a better defensive team, so they'll up against a team who are performing well. They've got Frankfurt tomorrow, and probably they've already played Frankfurt by the time people listen to this, but the run could continue.
I think they'll beat Frankfurt. I think they'll be not in Europe, but what a great season.
Close enough, yeah.
Wonderful. Wow.
Wow, that was fantastic, wasn't it?
Good work. High five.
High five.
There you go. Wonderful. Thank you very much for listening. 7 games to go. We'll be back.
On Monday.
Wonderful things to talk about. It's going to be a great weekend, Bayern against Dortmund. Loads to go on. And maybe everything that we've just said will have changed by Sunday night. But thanks for listening. We're at Tribune Podcast on Twitter, on Facebook, on iTunes. Give us a review, give us a comment, give us a like, whatever it is.
Where are you on Twitter?
JohnBlock66, Ross Dunbar93.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Enjoy your weekend.